From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id.
Hello listener, how are you today? I hope you are fine and I will accompany you with 60 minutes ahead for today's edition. And we'd like to present some programs started with news, commentary and other soft information as well as entertainment and Indonesian pop song. Listener, we begin our program with news. So stay with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Indonesia cooperating with nine nations to ensure medical supplies. Crime rates dip during COVID-19 crisis. Now the news in details. Indonesia is cooperating with at least nine countries to ensure the smooth supply of medical equipment to accelerate efforts to contain the novel coronavirus COVID-19. Indonesia has recorded assistance from 42 private and non-governmental organizations from nine countries, namely China, Singapore, Korea, Vietnam, France, Russia, Germany, Japan, and Sweden. International support to meet the demand for medical equipment is being coordinated by the Task Force for Acceleration of COVID-19 Handling, established by the Indonesian government. National Police Spokesman Senior Commissioner Asep Adisa Putra pointed to a substantial decline in crime rates, violations and disruptions of community order, as well as the security situation during the COVID-19 pandemic. Saputra expounded that 4,197 crimes took place in the 13th week, dropping to 3,743 in the 14th week. This indicates a decrease of 11.03% in crimes. Furthermore, the Indonesian National Police conducted a special police operation, codenamed Operation Safe Nusa Dua, to contain the spread of COVID-19. The operations aim to detect, prevent, handle, rehabilitate, enforce the law, and carry out police operational assistance, specifically oriented towards thwarting the spread of COVID-19. People are prohibited from conducting social activities that attract throngs of people both in public places and the adjoining areas. State-run fertilizers holding company PT Pupuk Indonesia has made assurance that the impositions of large-scale social distancing or PSBB by local regions would not impact the distribution of subsidized and non-subsidized fertilizer to farmers. Head of Corporate Communication Wijaya Laksana said the company will ensure the supply of fertilizers for the agriculture sector more so with the harvesting period from April to September. The distribution of fertilizers to farmers would not be affected because they are categorized as essential goods whose distribution is not restricted under the PSBB regulation. Fertilizer is a strategic commodity that plays an important role in ensuring smooth national development. The government has approved the imposition of PSBB for Jakarta as the number of COVID-19 cases in the capital has continued to rise. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson on Thursday left intensive care after 3 days of treatment for COVID-19. The Prime Minister has been moved this evening from intensive care back to the ward, where he will receive close monitoring during the early phase of his recovery. The 55-year-old Conservative leader had received standard oxygen treatment after he was transferred to the intensive care unit at London St. Thomas Hospitals on Monday. While much of the focus in Britain has been on Johnson's health, there is also concerns over the numbers of people infected with the virus, with the government set to extend a lockdown implemented on March 23rd. The government announced another 881 deaths on Thursday, taking the UK totals 7,978. Johnson was hospitalized on Sunday over concerns he still had a cough and high temperature 10 days after being diagnosed with coronavirus. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres urged the Security Council on Thursday to display unity as it met to discuss what he called the fight of generation, the global coronavirus pandemic. A signal of unity and resolve from the Council would count for a lot of this anxious time. The meeting of the 15-member Security Council is being held behind closed doors by video conference, but the UN released a copy of the Secretary General's remarks. Mr. Guterres said, the engagement of the Security Council will be critical to mitigate the peace and security implications of the COVID-19 pandemic. Security Council members gathered after weeks of disagreements, especially between the United States and China, where the coronavirus outbreak began in December. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The Organization of the Petroleum Exporting Countries, or OPEC, and allies have agreed to cut output by more than a fifth to counter the slump in demand caused by coronavirus lockdowns. The group said it would cut output in May and June by 10 million barrels to help prop up prices. The cuts will then be eased gradually until April 2022. OPEC Plus, made up of OPEC producers and allies including Russia, held talks on Thursday via video conference. The group and its allies agreed to cut 10 million barrels a day, or 10% of global supplies. Another 5 million barrels is expected to be cut by other nations. It said the cuts would be eased to 8 million barrels a day between July and December. Then they would be eased again to 6 million barrels between January 2021 and April 2022. The coronavirus pandemic will turn global economic growth sharply negative this year, the head of the International Monetary Fund has warned. Kristalina Georgieva said the world faced the worst economic crisis since the Great Depressions of the 1930s. She forecast that 2021 would only see a partial recovery. Lockdowns imposed by governments have forced many companies to close and lay off staff. Earlier this week, a UN study said 81% of the world's workforce of 3.3 billion people had had their place of work fully or partly closed because of the outbreak. The IMF managing director made her bleak assessment in remarks ahead of next week's IMF and World Bank spring meetings. Emerging markets and developing countries would be the hardest hit, requiring hundreds of billions of dollars in foreign aid. Just 3 months ago, they are expected positive per capita income growth in over 160 of their member countries in 2020. Today, that number had been turned on its head. They now projected that over 170 countries will experience negative per capita income growth this year. The pandemic eased in the second half of 2020. The IMF expected to see a partial recovery next year, but she cautions that the situation could also worsen. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening. Here is commentary for today entitling Global Uncertainty and Dispute with WHO. Global uncertainties due to the COVID-19 pandemic are still felt. Almost no country can be sure how and when its territory will be free from it. Only Wuhan, China, experienced the peak period of the COVID-19 outbreak and has now declared 0% of new cases of infections. Even then, there is a big question. Is it possible that the COVID-19 outbreak may return to attack? Japan, which was predicted to be able to control the situation without many protocols restrictions, apparently decided to lock down. Italy, which just initially seems to be able to deal with the virus attack, turn out to be the country with the highest death toll to date. The United States is one of the countries that is now experiencing a peak of COVID-19 attacks. The number of deaths in New York is even equivalent to the death rate in Italy. Panic and uncertainty are felt everywhere. The World Health Organization, WHO, is expected to be able to control the situation and provide direction so that this global pandemic can be resolved immediately. But in reality, not all countries are satisfied with the WHO performance. US President Donald Trump, take for example, expressed his dissatisfaction to WHO Director General Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus. The U.S. even threatened to stop paying contributions to the World Health Organization. WHO is expected to play a greater role in responding to this pandemic. The threat of the United States shows disharmony in a pandemic atmosphere. The U.S. considers WHO as more Chinese-centric. There are a number of WHO policy directives which are considered by the United States to be more favorable to China, while most of the WHO funding is said to come from the U.S. In the current global pandemic, it is natural that on one hand, many countries expect WHO greater role. On the other hand, WHO itself hopes that the efforts to save the world from the COVID-19 pandemic are not politicized. Hopefully, these global anxieties and uncertainty will soon shake off and all countries affected along with the WHO can deal with it and recover immediately. That was commentary. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Do the following to avoid virus infection when you are traveling. Keep your distance. If you see someone unhealthy, please maintain your distance. The minimum safe distance is 1 meter, but if the person is coughing, then the minimum distance is around 3 meters. Wash your hands with soap, especially if you keep interacting with other people. You can also use alcohol-based sanitizer to kill the germs. Cover your mouth and nose with your elbow or tissue when you are coughing or sneezing. If you are using tissue, throw it away immediately and then wash your hands. Avoid direct contact with living animals and any surfaces that had contacted with animals. Avoid consuming raw or half-cooked meat to avoid cross-contamination. Find medical treatment as soon as possible and then share your prior travel history with the health services if you are experiencing any health problems. From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History. We begin with a story on April 10, 1912, when Titanic left Southampton, England. On April 10, 1912, the Titanic left the port of Southampton, England. The Titanic was the second of three super passenger ships with the aim of starting a transatlantic travel trade. Owned by a White Star Line and built at the Harlan and Wolff Shipyard, Titanic was the largest passenger steamboat in the world at the time of its launch. At the time of its first voyage, Titanic crashed into an iceberg on Sunday, April 14, 1912, and sank about 2 hours and 40 minutes later. The disaster resulted in the deaths of more than 1,500 people and making it the worst sea disaster in marine history. Next, let's move in on to April 10, 1919, when the Mexican revolutionary leader Emiliano Zapata is shot dead. Emiliano Zapata Salazar was one of the leaders in the Mexican Revolution against dictator Porfirio Diaz in 1910. Emiliano Zapata was considered a Mexican national hero. He actively defended the rights of the Indian populations in Morelos, who receive unfair treatment from landlords. Because the government acted too slowly and favored the landlords, Zapata began to form an army to take over disputed lands. On April 9, 1919, Colonel Jesus Guajardo met Zapata and stated that he intended to join the revolutionaries. Zapata agreed, but it turned out that Guajardo and his followers trapped him. Zapata was shot dead on April 10, 1919. We entered in history on April 10, 2010, when President of the Republic of Poland is killed in a plane accident. The fourth President of the Republic of Poland, Lech Kaczyński, was killed after his Polish Air Force Tu-154 plane crashed outside Smolensk, Russia. His wife, Maria Kaczyński, and an economic observer were also among the dead. After the Kaczyński death was announced, a week of mourning was announced by the acting president of Poland from April 11 to 18. The president of the Republic of Poland and his wife were buried on April 18 in an underground room at the Wawel Cathedral. Listener, that was Today in History. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Masihkah mungkin ku kembali untuk mengisi harimu yang jelas hati ku tak lagi jauh darimu. Aku kan berjanji takkan mengulang segala kesalahan. Aku kan mengabdi pada satu cinta dan itu dirimu. Jujur ku hanya seorang lelaki dan tak lepas dari godaan. Harus ku miliki kesempatan untuk menyayangmu lagi. Aku kan berjanji takkan mengulang segala kesalahan. Aku kan mengabdi pada satu cinta dan itu dirimu. Jujur ku hanya seorang lelaki yang terkadang tak lepas dari godaan. Kau ragu adakah yang telah mengganti aku. Aku kan berjanji takkan segala kesalahan. Aku kan mengabdi pada satu cinta dan itu dirimu. Jujur ku hanya seorang lelaki yang terkadang tak lepas dari godaan. Jujur ku hanya I love. lepas dari godaan.
Well, for listener, you've listened to the song and you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. In today's edition, I'd like to give you another segment, My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia entitled, Automotive Industries Ready to Produce Ventilators. Indonesian Ministry of Industry said that the domestic automotive industry is capable to produce breathing apparatuses or ventilators needed in handling the COVID-19 pandemic in Indonesia. This was stated by Director of Maritime Industry, Transportation Equipment and Defense Equipment, IMATAP, Ministry of Industry, Putu Juli Ardika, through his statement in Jakarta on Sunday. Putu Juli Ardika expressed his appreciation to the industry players who welcomed these humanitarian efforts. Putu hopes that the ventilator production will be a solution to maintain the performance of the automotive sector amidst the current difficult conditions. Putu also said that automotive manufacturers are following up on cooperation with the component industry to conduct reverse engineer in the development of ventilators prototype. In addition, there are several teams in educational and research institutions that are working on developing ventilators. Meanwhile, General Chairman of the Indonesian Automotive Industry Association, Gaikindo, Johannes Nainggoy, said, in an effort to encourage its members to produce ventilators, he asked the government to provide competent partners. He also requires a companion, especially industry that have experience and expertise in manufacturing ventilators. The companion will help from outlining the blueprint related to the technical aspects of making ventilators, transferring technology, as well as modifying the existing car assembly facilities so that they can be used to produce ventilators. The experienced partner will determine the standards of raw materials to the suppliers, while Gaikindo only helps in producing. On the other hand, the Indonesian Motorcycle Industry Association, IEC, still wait for the government directives related to technical producing the required ventilators. Chairman of the IEC Commercial Sector, Sigit Kumala, said that his party, which oversees 5 domestic motorcycle brands, needs a detailed description related to the mass productions of ventilators. Big countries such as the United States and the United Kingdom have mobilized the ability of their automotive industry to assist in the production of ventilators, which have limited availability in an effort to meet the needs of COVID-19 patients. Ventilators are needed by patients to avoid respiratory failures caused by COVID-19 pandemic. Listener, that was My Indonesia. I'm Niko Kusumawati.
You are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, then we would like to present next segment Indonesia Wonder, about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Listener, welcome back to me, Putri, in Indonesian Wonder. For today's edition, I would like to introduce you Marangi Sate. There are many kinds of satay in Indonesia, starting from basic ingredients such as goats, chickens, cows, ducks, shellfish, and fish. Each region has its own different way of serving the satay. Some of them are directly baked, and the basic ingredients are mixed and boiled first. Then some are through a saturating process. One kind of satay which is quite well known is Marangi Satay, made from beef. The famous one is coming from Purwakarta, West Java. There are many versions of the origins of Marangi Satay according to Chef Haryo Pramu. The model of Marangi Satay, which is processed before baking, must be saturated. Such process is the result of assimilation of dishes from Chinese migrants. In the past, according to Chef Haryo, the migrants used pork, and before grilling, there was a saturating process. But the majority of the population of Indonesia is Muslim, so it adapts to the use of beef. But another version says Marangi Satay is the result of findings from Mak Ranggi, the first seller of Marangi Satay. Making Marangi Satay is quite easy. All meat as a basic ingredients must be saturated first, and the spices such as coriander, ginger, kalangal, turmeric are blended together. In addition, there are some sweet soy sauce, palm sugar, a little vinegar to give a little sour taste. It can also use lahang vinegar or vinegar made from sugar palm or from Asam Jawa. There are several versions of how to serve marangi sate. In Purwakarta City, marangi sate is served with lead rice or rice wrapped in banana leaves and containing a little angkawi or oncom, while in Cianjur, it is served with rice cake or rice. More interestingly, in Wanayasa and Pleret, marangi satay is served with baked sticky rice or ketan bakar plus oncom chili sauce. If you go to Purwakarta, please stop over at Cibungu Restaurant, which has sold marangi sate on Purwakarta Cikampek Main Street in Bungur Sari Sub-District Purwakarta since 1991. If you would like to taste another version, go to Pleret. You can enjoy the original menu from the legendary Mak Ranggi. That was Indonesian Wonder for today's edition, entitled Marangi Sate. See you next time with another interesting topic. Bye-bye!
Mencintaimu, mendampingimu, menginginkanmu, aku menjadi diri sendiri, tak peduli apa kata dunia.
Kita.
kita yang kan menang.
You've just listened to the third pop song, and for next segment we'll present to you Miss Eleni. So stay tuned for a listener on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, welcome back to Miss Eleni. Today we will inform you about Ministry of Education and Culture holds cultural performance via online and TV. So stay tuned with us at www.voinews.id. COVID-19 pandemic challenges artists who have to postpone art activities and performances, which adversely affect their income. To help the economy of artists affected by COVID-19 and also provide quality arts entertainment to the public, the Ministry of Education and Culture has held various shows online and will air art performances on TVRI starting April 13, 2020. The online art performances can be watched at Budaya Saya YouTube channel and social media. Performances through TVRI have the main goal for learning at home and began airing on April 13, 2020. Director General of Culture, Hilmar Farid, in a media briefing online, explained.
Ada Riau Rhythm dari Riau, dan ada sekian banyak pertunjukan lain yang juga sudah berjalan dan akan berjalan.
There is Riau Rhythm from Riau, and there are a number of other shows that have already been running and will be running again. And the Ministry of Education and Culture itself is preparing a program that is being prepared through TVRI, which is essentially educating and entertaining at the same time. We cooperate with France, and also the Ministry of Education and Culture gives an access to ensure that France creative work does not lose their jobs or lose their place of expression. Various kinds of initiatives always have a purpose. His site will also provide a place for visual exhibitions. Visual collections such as those are commonly enjoyed in museums and cultural reserves will continue to be accessible. Ahmad Mahendra, Director of the Directorate of Film, Music and New Media of the Directorate General of Culture, said that there will be a slot for airing on TVRI at certain hours, such as 8 to 9 a.m., 10 to 11 a.m., 2 to 3 afternoon, and 2 hours at night. For the segmentation itself, there will be events for early childhood education, grade 1 and grade 3 elementary school, family events, entertainment, and children's film screenings. Well, listener, that was Miss Eleni for today with the topic Ministry of Education and Culture holds cultural performance via online and TV. Tomorrow we will meet again with other interesting topics. See you next time.
pada aku. Dia amat manis dan juga baik hati. Dia selalu ada waktu untuk membantuku. Namun aku bingung ketika dia bilang cinta, dan dia juga katakan untuk ingin jadi kekasihku. Cukuplah saja berteman denganku, janganlah kau meminta lebih. Ku tak mungkin mencintaimu, kita berteman saja, teman tapi mesra. Aku memang suka pada dirimu, namun aku ada yang punya. Lebih baik kita berteman, kita berteman saja, teman tapi mesra. Aku punya teman, teman super.
You are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, next segment would like to give you information about music. For today's edition, we'll present traditional music, so stay tuned, Voice Listener.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, in today's edition, we would like to play a medley regional song from various regions in Indonesia, which will be sung by Indonesian young singer Antmesh Kamaleng. Somewhat in love with his country and gratitude for being the winner in a talent show delivered by Antmesh Kamaleng, who was born in Alor, East Nusa Tenggara, through regional songs that were rearranged into the pop music genre and posted on his YouTube channel. Well, listener, here is Antmesh Kamaleng with a medley regional song in pop genre.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, we end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. Thank you for your attention. And after this English language program broadcasting, we will give another interesting information. So stay tuned with us at Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, do not forget to like and comment at Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Instagram account at voice.of.indonesia, or our Twitter account at VOI Indonesia. And you can also give your criticism and suggestion to our email address voi@vianews.id.